Welcome everybody to, I was telling before, it's almost become the hour of power here on Sunday nights, but that's good. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's get right at this. So much going on, I don't know what you'd have to be to not know some stuff's going on in the world right now. You don't have to have social media and all that and watch all that to know that there's some things going on in the world right now. And in praying about that and looking at that for just, you know, myself, I just came across some things and I was just up in I have a, you know, once man and I are empty nesters now. So what happens is some of those nests you get to make into offices, right? So, but you know, today this is my second Father's Day as a grandfather, but today, you know, last year it was just all, you know, slobbering on everything. But this year, the little guy's walking around, and I got such a kick out of watching him eat his lunch today. Every bite was, Gotta love a kid that likes food. I don't know, just thankful for his food. A couple times he went, You know, it's just, so, I don't know. Being a parent is a great thing. Being a grandparent, oh my, praise the Lord. If I'd have known it was this fun, I'd have skipped ahead. I don't know. No, praise God. 1 John chapter 4, I want us to start there. You know, if you've listened to Pastor Craig preach at all, we've got an enemy. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And in the garden, when man decided to disobey God, and it was a decision to disobey God, Satan became the god of this world. And he is the head of this world system. Now, where there's some things told us about him in the Word of God, Jesus said that he is a liar and the father of it. This entire world system operates on a lie. It operates on lies. And the byproduct of that, because faith is believing the truth of God's word and acting on it, fear is believing lies and acting upon that. So the entire world system operates according to fear. I mean, if you watch it and you pay attention to the world, it's a fear-based kingdom, if you will. That's why, you know, Pastor started right off after this, just talking to us about, look, let's not be, if we don't have anything to fear. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear and power and love and a sound mind. Amen? And we're not, but I think this is such an important topic because we are not about to, we are in the days that the church is rising up and is going to meet this fear face to face that's in the world and take the good news of Jesus Christ and tell them that Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus baptized in the Holy Ghost, and Jesus is coming back again. And we can't do it if we're afraid. And that's what the devil wants to stop more than anything, is us fulfilling what God has for us in the last days. He's heard it. He's heard it preached in pulpits all over the world. He's heard it preached since the day it was written, that God wins and what's going to happen to him. And he doesn't want it. He wants to put it off. He wants to make it not happen. The only weapon he has against us is fear. Amen? When Paul was talking to Timothy there, he said, stir up the gift of God that's in you. Stir it up. He said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Seems to me that the reason to say that is that the only thing that will stop you, Timothy, from walking in the gifting and the calling God has on your life is fear. Well, if it's true for Timothy, it's true for us. I think these are exciting times. This is revival time. You study revival, things like this have always come out the other end. There's a revival that takes place. And a revival that doesn't have anything to do with gender, class, race, anything. It's a revival that reaches all peoples. And in this last day revival, I don't know who it was, I think it was Pastor Bill not long ago preached about how every tribe, every tongue, every nation is going to be present when we stand before the Lord. Amen? But God, I want to talk about three things we do not have to fear tonight. Three things we're told from the Word of God we don't have to fear. And when we don't fear these things, we're free. We're free. We like to sing about free. freedom, we're free to sing, we're free to dance, we're free, but are we free? Are we walking in it? 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 through 18 says, "We have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." Now, verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love." I want to read verse 18 to you from the Living Bible, the old Living Bible, Taylor's paraphrase. But he says this, I think, in a way that really helps us. He says this: "We need have no fear of someone who loves us perfectly." Did you realize God loves you perfectly? Perfectly. We don't have to fear. When someone loves you perfectly, you have no reason to be afraid of them. Now, I'm not talking here about the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord, and then the awe of God, and holy fear of displeasing God, of the Father, by living in sin when Jesus' blood has set us free from it. We're not talking here. When we talk about love, listen, if you hear the message of love and God loves you no matter what, and you think, okay, I can now do this, this, and this, you've already got heart issues. You got more to worry about than, I mean, even though I know worry is a sin, brother. Now, okay, thank you, confession police. But you got other things to, when I hear this, that God loves me perfectly, it frees me to live a holy life. Right? It's freeing. It wants me to be like him. All right? He says, his perfect love for us eliminates all dread of what he might do to us. If we are afraid, it is for fear of what he might do to us and shows we are not fully convinced that he really loves us. Now listen, all that God could have done to us, because we were sinners, he did to Jesus so that we could live free. Thank God. Now again, that doesn't, when you read that, if you think, well, listen, Jesus did not shed his blood so I could still live like the devil. Right? Amen. But notice this. Here's my first thing. We do not have to be afraid of God. You don't have to be afraid of God. Think about the scripture. He said, come boldly to my throne. Come boldly. Not arrogantly, but come boldly. The idea is like a child. You know, here's Father's Day. You know, when I go home to my parents, I was there last weekend and briefly here the other night. But, you know, my dad's got, out in his garage, he's got a refrigerator. And there's all kinds of, there's water bottles, there's all kinds of different types of sodas, whatever you want. And, you know, if I ask him, can I have a water bottle, Father? He'd probably, are you okay? He'd feel my foot, are you all right? No, I just march out there and get it. I tell him thanks, but it's just, that's the relationship. When you know you're loved, right? You remember your teenagers defrosting the refrigerator, looking for something to eat, right? Boldness, because knowing that we're loved, we don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of God. Now, for a lot of people, that's an issue. They're afraid of God. You know, I grew up thinking that God was this old gray-haired, white, long beard dude on a throne. All right? And right behind his throne was a big old container of lightning bolts. That if you messed up, he was going to get you. He was just waiting. I can't wait. Those no good sinners. But when I grew up, you know, here in 9 days, this is the 21st, 9 days will be my 40th birthday in Christ, June 30th, 1980. And in these 40 years, one thing I found, God loves me perfectly. And I don't have to be afraid of God. All right? Tell your neighbor, you don't have to be afraid of God. Go over to Hebrews 13. Let's look at our second one. Hebrews 13. Now, you know, this isn't obviously, in one sermon, you can't give an in-depth study on anything. So, but we wanted to cover these things tonight as best we can. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. Let your conversation or your manner of life be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, For he has said, now watch this, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Well, how many of you know thee means me? So when I read, he will never leave me nor forsake me. So that we may boldly say, here's that boldness again, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I found this out. You can't minister to who you're afraid of. But if you know God's on your side, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That delivers me from the fear of people. Paul said, should I please you or please God? You tell me. See, Paul, now, that didn't mean, you know, Paul went to prison for pleasing God. But, you know, looking down through biblical history, sometimes, you know, we're so afraid of something. You know, Joseph going to prison, sold into slavery by his own brothers, going into prison, didn't stop God's plan for his life. Moses saw God had a calling on his life to deliver his people, tried to do it on his own, had to spend 40 years. Still, God worked it out in his life. All throughout the Bible, these things take place. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of what man will do to us. I don't have to be afraid of being treated unfairly. Is it dealing with man? Yes. Can I tell you something? I know you know this, but can I just declare it? You're not going to get fair in the world. And then you might have to redefine fair. Now you think about it, even with Jesus. You know, I wonder what those other disciples thought when Peter, James, and John got to go everywhere with Jesus, and there they stood. Philip, I imagine they're having discussions. You know how they are, because they argued a lot about who was the greatest. They had all these things, even, you know, Jesus. And of course, you know Thomas, he doubted he'd ever get to go. But you'll get that later. Think now. Thomas, doubting Thomas. Okay, never mind. Life's not fair. And if you're waiting to be treated fair before you can move and do anything, you're going to be held in bondage forever. But there's something about knowing God's with you that sets you free from people. Now, what do I mean by that? I'm not talking about not submitting to authority. I'm not talking about that at all. If you hear that and you think I can be a rebel, then you're not hearing right. But free from people so that you can minister to anyone. And free from what people are going to do to me. Are they going to talk bad about me? Are they going to do this? Are they going to do that? Are they going to do that? I'm free from that because I know the Lord's with me. Now I realize no one's 100% following the leading of the Spirit of God. So I make mistakes, you know, just like you do. And when I do that, I have to make course corrections in that. But I'm not endeavoring to miss the leading of the Spirit and to do anything to ever harm anybody. Or to say anything, right? Can I ask everyone a favor? Would you quit being so offendable? There was a time that something was just really, it's just always getting offended by something. And I had the Lord say, would you call things to be not as though they were? And I was like, what do you mean? He said, start saying, I'm unoffendable. I can't be offended. Because the love of God's in me. It changed that situation. Did they stop? No. They kept on being offensive. I just quit taking account of it. Get pastor's book on offense. But free from people. Romans chapter 8 says this in verse 31. I like this. I have to be careful. I'll just stop with this verse. Otherwise I'll. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? This is the same God whom all things are possible to him. And all things are possible to him that believe. This is the Almighty God. If God is for you, who can be against you? Free. I don't have to be afraid of God. I don't have to be afraid of mankind or men, ever how you want to say that, people. And then the last one in Hebrews chapter 2. These aren't the only things, but these are the three I'm bringing out. Hebrews chapter 2. And this is one that I think, to me, this is the granddaddy, if you will, or the you could say the father of it, but to me, granddaddy's kind of like, you know, gives a legacy to it, of all fear right here. This is, out of this fear is birthed every other fear, because of the scope of it, and it's something that all of us have come in contact with and experienced, and that's the fear of death. But let's look at this from a biblical perspective. And you know, isn't that what we're supposed to do? Aren't we supposed to end every discussion with, well, what's the Word of God have to say about it? Maybe start every discussion with that. You know, so much of what I've seen discussed in things that I keep waiting for the but God. Where's the but God to this? But God said, but God. Man, if you have a but God, you're going a long way. Hallelujah. Because but God does away with my path. Well, you know, I heard people say, well, I can't do that. I can't do that because I was born here, but God. You know, I was born south of the tracks, but God. I was born north of the tracks, but God. I was born on the tracks, but God. You know, it didn't matter if you had a silver spoon, a copper spoon, a plastic spoon in your mouth and you were born. When you say, but God, you've become royalty. You're a child of the King. And whatever God wants in your life, you can have it. Whatever the Word says, you can have it. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, talking about how children, us people, we partake of flesh and blood. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, speaking of Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now look at this. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Notice what fear of death produces in our life, bondage. But he said that when Jesus died, now of course we know he just didn't die, right? He rose again. He's alive and dead. But through his death, he defeated him and destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. When mankind sinned, that part that God said, the moment that you disobey, you will die. Now they didn't die physically that day, did they? But they died, they were separated from God. But Jesus came back to bring men back to God and do away with that separation. But then this physical death is the last enemy that's going to be put under the feet of Jesus. There's coming a time in all of our future where there'll be no more physical death. Amen? No more physical death. There'll be no more dying. Because that's God's original intent. There's no death in God. He is life. Hallelujah. And so he says here that he has delivered us, you, me. So I'm not afraid to die. Now listen, when you're not afraid to die, you're not afraid of any sickness or any disease. It doesn't matter what it is, because I'm not afraid to die. Now we're going to look at why we're not afraid to die, but there's some other things that support this. But you know, when this whole pandemic thing hit, there was just a fear that went out all over. I mean, it's all over the world. Now, we've got it pretty good here where we are. We've traveled here just recently to a couple other states, and I'm telling you, there's fear. It's tangible. I'm not talking about, ooh, did you feel the spirits when we crossed that state line? No, I'm just talking about seeing people and how they're operating. And there's a tangible fear. Well, that's of the devil. You know that's not God. And a lot of it is, I'm afraid to get this, something that has a great recovery rate anyway. You know? Now, if I said, I looked something up the other day, just really surprised me, that this pandemic, there's a greater recovery rate from it than there is from leprosy. Now you think about leprosy, everybody's like, leprosy. But it has, there's 95% recovery rate from that. 95% of people exposed to it never get it. I thought it was, you know, you hear about leprosy, you're like, oh, that's horrible. That's a plague. The Bible calls it a plague. Well, they've called this a plague. Amen. Do you know fear attracts? Faith is an attractor. Faith attracts the blessings of God. Fear does the exact same and the opposite. You hear people call all the time. What, you hear them calling things that be not as though they were, except that it's not in faith, it's in fear. Amen. But we don't have to be afraid. See, you don't have to be afraid of death. Why? A couple scriptures here to help us with this. Philippians chapter 1. We just don't want to make statements. We want to back it up with scripture here, okay? Now, having said that you don't have to be afraid to die, that doesn't mean you have to be in a hurry to die. Okay? No. With long life, he'll satisfy us and show us his salvation. With long life. You understand what I'm saying? Long life. Okay? But on this other hand, we can't believe death. Death is not the end. It's just a step. Look here in Philippians 1:20. According to my 19, sorry. For I know this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now here's Paul. He's in prison. He's writing this, and he's expecting to get salvation out of all this. He says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Everybody say gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I wot not the gain. I don't know yet. For I am in a strait betwixt two. In other words, I'm at a fork in the road. Okay, I got to make a decision. Having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Everybody say far better. He said to die in Christ is gain, and it's far better. It to gain and far better. So I don't care how good it is here, that is better. And not a little bit. Far better. But notice what Paul said. Nevertheless, verse 24, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So I'm wondering if the real reason we need to be free from this fear of death is not for us, but it's so that we can be here to minister to others. Because Paul said, he went on to say, but I'm going to stay because it's more needful for you. I'm going to stay for you. Why? Because I'm already a citizen of heaven. You're already a citizen of heaven. We belong there. We're just ambassadors here now. You belong. You could walk the streets of glory now. God would have to do something with this body. But that's, you know, for God, that's nothing. But you belong there. You're a citizen of heaven. You're a child of God. You're a child of the Most High. Amen. Listen to me, you're not a guest in heaven. You're not just even to say a citizen, is so, it makes it so low. You are the child of the creator of it, the builder of it, the king of it. You are the one sitting on the throne is your father. Sometimes I don't think there's words to say what that means. Hallelujah. So it's far better. Now look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here, Paul talks about this again. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid. I don't have to be afraid of God. And I'm not afraid of people. God, he said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. What will man do to me? What can you do to me? If you kill me, it's far better. You just helped me get to far better. You helped me gain. Amen. Now again, I'm not saying, listen, we all need to be led by the Spirit of God. Some people make mistakes and get themselves in positions, places they shouldn't be, and, you know, different things, and have accidents and different things of that. You've heard Pastor talk about, you know, his dad talking about, we can't leave yet. Why? Spirit of the Lord said, don't go yet. And then come up on an accident that they would have been, timing-wise, been right there. See, but be led by the Spirit of God. Be led by the Spirit of why others need to hear. Others need to hear what you have. You dads, you fathers, you got children to raise up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You got grandchildren to leave an inheritance to. You see, others need you. That's why. It's not about me. It's not about just me personally. It's about others. Paul said here in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. He goes on to say, we're all going to stand before the Lord and give account of what we've done in this body, for the rewards that will be handed out in heaven. But you're already in heaven when that happens, so it's not that judgment, because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But whether I'm here in this body or not, the whole goal is to glorify him and to bring him glory and honor. But if I'm afraid, I can't do that. All right? Now, two scriptures, I'll quote them to you when I have time to turn. Isaiah 54, 14 says something very interesting. It says, in righteousness shall you be established. Well, that's the day we live in. How many of you would say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ? Why? Because the Bible tells us that, right? In righteousness shall you be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. And from terror, for it shall not come near you. Far from oppression, for you shall not fear. Far from oppression, for you shall not fear. And then Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. See, fear is the weapon the devil wants to use against you. He wants to try to make you're afraid of God. No, we don't have to be afraid of God. Well, you got to be afraid of people. No, you don't have to be afraid of people. Well, you got to be afraid, of dying. No, you don't have to be afraid of dying. And once you're over those three, every other fear that comes along a little, no, doesn't even measure up. No, no, no. And then we really start living. Then we really start living. And then we really start ministering to people. You watch Jesus operate. There was a compassion that he operated. The Bible says over and over in the Gospels, he was moved with compassion. That leper in Mark 1, he was moved with compassion, reached out and touched him and said, I am, of course. I like what one translation said, of course I want to heal you, be healed. He reached out and grabbed him. I mean, I got to thinking about it, And I think, we need to respect. And again, just because I'm not afraid to die doesn't mean I'm looking to go out and get sick. Hallelujah. I don't know what's going to be. There's three statements that I've heard Pastor Hagin make in my life and ministry in the time, because 2 years after I got saved, I came here to go to Raymond. So I was just, like I heard Tony Cook say, whatever I'll eat what you feed, what you feed me, I will swallow, where you lead me, I will follow, whatever, it was just whatever. But we learned back then, he had a class called Practical Ministry, that ministry was spelled W-O-R-K. All right? How many of you remember that? Okay, W-O-R-K. And then, of course, I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. And then what's been so applicable and so helpful and so much a blessing, I think, to me, but then all of us, the natural and the supernatural coming together makes the explosive force for God. So that's why if you need to wear a mask, wear a mask. Do the natural. Amen. I went in stores when I was up in Illinois here last weekend. You had to have a mask on. Same stores here, you don't have to, but there you did. Well, you put a mask on. It doesn't mean you don't have faith. Do what's right in that. But see, don't do anything based on fear. The Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. So everything I'm doing, I'm not doing it based on fear. I'm doing it based on faith. I'm wearing the mask by faith. Amen? I'm not shaking your hand by faith right now. You say, how can you do that? You can do it. Why? Because I'm loving you, and faith works by love. Yeah. Amen. You don't know what I've touched. You know what I'm saying? You don't need, you know, I'm washing hands. I've washed my hands more in the last 3 months. I'm surprised there's skin left there. You know? We don't have to be afraid of God. Don't have to be afraid of people. We don't have to be afraid to die. Oh, that's living. That's living when you don't have fear. Amen. Let's all stand up together. Father, we thank you from your word. We thank you that Jesus has set us free from fear. Thank you, Father. It's not just something we sing. We're no longer slaves to fear. We are not. You've set us free from it. Help each one of us, Lord God, as you're so good at doing, that by your Spirit, you talk to each one of us and show us areas that we can live free from that. She'll give us the word in that situation. And every time, Father God, we'll have the victory because you always lead us into triumph through Christ Jesus. Now, Father, tonight here, there might be folks here, Father, that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There might be some folks that are watching that don't know that. And so we're going to pray a prayer. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or if you've walked away from your relationship with God, he still loves you. He loves you immensely. And he wants you to have that right relationship with him. Just repeat this prayer after me tonight. Say this: Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus. I thank you that your word says, the Bible says, that you love me. And you love me and you sent Jesus. Jesus died for me, but he rose again. He bore my sin. He bore my sickness and disease. But he rose again into life that I might have life. And I thank you, Father. I now confess him as my Lord. He's my Savior and he's my Lord. And I am your child. And I live for you the rest of my days. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you're here tonight and you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you prayed, see one of our ushers, they got the red shirts on tonight. If you are watching, please email us at partnerservice@rhema.org. Let us know that you are that you prayed that prayer. We want to minister to you. Okay, don't forget now, Wednesday night, Hour of Power. And then also, don't forget, camp meeting's coming up. And this is not just something for people to come in from all the world. This is a revival for us right here, okay? But during that time, we need help. We need people to step up and volunteer in different areas. So see out there in the North Lobby how you can help us out. And it's going to be a great, great meeting. I'm expecting great things this year at camp meeting, aren't you? All right, we good? Everybody clear? God bless you all. We'll see you back here Wednesday night. Amen.